In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today's Gospel is filled with so many things to say that I really don't know where to begin. Our lives are filled with constant excuses. We all have reasons why we can't do this or why we can't do that, why we can't go here, why we can't go there. And all of these excuses, especially when they pertain to matters of our faith, are useless. God doesn't want excuses. He has given us His commandments. He's given us His laws. He has invited us. He sacrificed Himself for us. He sent out this invitation to us. Come to this great feast, this great supper. And there's no excuse that's going to be acceptable. When God calls, He expects us to answer. Not in our own good time, not in our own good pleasure. When He calls, He expects us to answer immediately. And all too often, because we have become accustomed to the ways of this world, the carelessness, the lack of respect in this world, we often say to God, well, later. Maybe later. Right now I'm busy. Right now what I'm doing is more important than what you are asking me to do. And obviously, that implies that I know more than God. And when we put it so simply, we say, how could I be so bold? How could I be so selfish? How could I be so foolish? But this is exactly what our actions say about us. The Master is God Himself. His servant was Jesus Christ and the apostles that He commissioned in His name. These servants went out into the world, and already there were those chosen people who had the written law, who had all the prophets, who had all the sacred texts that Moses had written down for them. These men all had the invitation to this great feast in their hands. They knew of it. And when the feast was ready, God sent His servants out to invite them. And these Pharisees that Christ was eating supper with know exactly what this parable means to them. Christ came to them, invited them. They were the first ones. They had the previous written invitation in their hands, and they refused Him. They began to make excuses. And there are three principal excuses that they make, which apply to all of mankind. I bought a farm. I bought oxen. I have a wife. All these material things. The concupiscence of the flesh, the concupiscence of the eyes, and the pride of life. They're all the excuses that we use not to do what God wants us to do. Not to answer His call. And the funny thing of it is, I believe that we're all waiting for somebody to tell us what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. I recall as a child thinking, you know, people are always asking, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to do? And I found it very unnerving, very disconcerting. How do I know? As a child, we do what we're told. We go where we're told. We're ingrained in our faith that we must obey our parents. When our parents tell us to pick this up, we should pick it up immediately. We shouldn't ask questions. We shouldn't say later, or I'll get around to it. When we hear the voice of our parents, we hear the voice of God. We must obey promptly, completely, sacrificing our own will, our own desire, our own pleasures, to do the will of that whom God has placed over us. And this was deeply impressed upon me when I entered the Franciscan order. Every activity is scheduled, regulated. When that bell rings, it is not the bell calling us to pray, or calling us to eat, or calling us to recreation. It is not the brother who is ringing the bell calling us. When that bell rings, it is God who calls us, because we have vowed obedience to this way of life. And so when the bell rings, we must act promptly, quickly. And we teach this to our children, to have this respect, this love for their parents, for authority. For all authority comes forth from God. And now these adults who try to instill this prompt obedience, this love of God in their children, come along and ask the children, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to do? And this is a completely strange idea now. My parents have been guiding my life all along, and now they want me to make a decision what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. How will I know? As a young boy, I wanted to do everything. One day it was very nice to be an engineer. The next day I think it'd be really neat to be a fireman or a doctor. Maybe I'd like to fly airplanes. Maybe I'd like to be an electrician. Maybe I'd like to be a lawyer. Every day was something different, and they're all very intriguing. But what did I know of any of these things as a little child? Nothing. What did I know of my own talents, my own capabilities? Very little. My interests were formulated by those around me. Whatever those that I was influenced by, their ideas formed me. I liked what they liked. I disliked what they disliked. And now you're asking me to break out of this and to step out as an adult and make a decision that I'm completely incapable of making, because I know nothing of all these different fields. I know really very little of myself. And we feel really cheated. This isn't fair. And every little child knows what's fair and what's not fair. Isn't that right, Franny? You know when your daddy's not fair, don't you? And so we're left with this dilemma. What do I do? And we never stop to think. We should have our children pray to God. He is the only one that has all the answers. Our children should be taught to pray to God that He would show them their vocation. I often would put the burden on the parents. It is your obligation to observe your children, to discern their talents, to discern their interests, what they are good at, what they will succeed at, and to guide them in that path. And the parents will say, well, how am I supposed to judge? What am I supposed to do? if you are cooperating with the grace of God, He will inspire you. He will let you know. But since we place this burden on our youth must stand up to the plate and say, okay, where am I going to find this answer? The answer has to come from God. We must call upon our guardian angel. We must call upon our patron saints and ask them, please tell me what I should do. And now here comes the most difficult part. Once we hear the messenger from God telling us what we should do, that is the time to do it. Not later, not when we get around to it. It is very improper for us to say, when God has invited us, to say, well, Lord, I can't come right now because I'm doing this. I just started this project. I just started doing this or going here. I have other plans, and this doesn't fit into my plans right now. Maybe later on I'll get around to it. And all too often, we put God off. We put off His invitation. We dismiss His servants who have come to invite us. And then when we get around to coming to the supper, to the great feast that we've been invited to, we find that there's no longer any room. The doors have been closed. And those that were invited will never taste of that supper. That's a very frightening thing when we consider this supper represents eternal happiness in heaven. We have received invitations. We have been brought into the Catholic faith. We've been given this faith, our catechism, the doctrines, the teachings, the morals, all these rules and regulations that so many think are so obsessive. All these things have been given to us as an invitation to guide our lives. It is not the voice of men who have given us these things. It is the voice of God, which only is expressed through the voice of man. This is the invitation from God. And we must heed this invitation immediately. We have received it. God is calling upon us. Let's go forth and do what we must do. And I've heard so many sermons of preachers standing before young people telling them all the beauties and all the glories of the religious life, of the clerical state. And I've read these things. And I thought, well, what if one of these souls does not have a vocation to the religious life or the clerical state, but on the contrary has a vocation to the marriage state? Is it right and proper to suggest that all children must do this or must do that? Of course not. Because God gives different graces, different vocations to every different individual. And they must be taught to listen to the voice of God in their conscience. To hear it, to ask for it, and to follow it. I am certain that God has called many to the religious life and they have turned their backs upon it. St. John Bosco once said that he believed, I think the proportion was 2/3 or 75% of all these children have a vocation to the religious life? And I was really set back by this. This is unreal. Do you realize the implications of that? And if you've listened to all your science teachers and your biology teachers and all those in the school and the system, you think, well, my God, the world's going to die out. If 75% of the people in the world took a vow of celibacy, never got married, never had any children, what would happen to this world? Oh my, that would be a terrible thing. And then I stopped and think for just a moment. It doesn't take long. Well, if you stop all these evil practices that so many married people practice, and you had the traditional large Catholic families, we're not going to die out. But let's look at the positive aspect. All our hospitals, when they were run by Catholic institutions, by the Sisters of Charity or the Franciscan nuns, were operated pretty much free of cost to all those patients who entered there. Can you imagine what our medical field would be like if all our hospitals were run by religious who've taken vows of poverty, who are not collecting a salary, who work for the love of God and are supported by the charitable contributions of others? Can you imagine what our health system would be like? My goodness, insurance companies would have to go out of business. Let's look at another aspect. What about education? If all our parochial schools were operated free of charge by religious again who have taken vows of poverty and are teaching solely for the love of God, we would have the highest quality education from the very first and lowest grades all the way to the highest. The teachers would not be motivated by any worldly gain, but solely for the love of God, the salvation of these souls, the betterment of society. Can you imagine what would happen in politics? Can you imagine the great impact that religion would have on society all across the board? None of these things have transpired because so many have heard this invitation, they have received this invitation from God. They said, I can't go right now, Lord. You see, I'm filled with avarice. I'm buying property. I'm making myself secure in this world. Little do they know they're never secure in this world. They're never secure in property. Or they bought a new car. I have to go out and try it. Their pride, their vanity, the eagerness to see new things, to go to new places. I can't come right now, Lord. Or their sins of impurity. I'm out carousing, having a good time, getting drunk, abusing my life, destroying my very life. I don't have time to answer your call, O Lord. These are the reasons why this world isn't this ideal place that would exist if all these children would take up the vocation that Saint Dominic or Saint John Bosco said that he thinks they have. I don't want to get into the numbers, but what I wish is that these children should be instructed to hear this invitation from God. They should be instructed to seek out this invitation. Not have this burden placed upon their shoulders of trying to figure out by themselves, without any guidance, which way they are supposed to go. But to turn to God in all simplicity and all humility and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? We've had enough of people telling me what to do. We've had enough of me trying to figure out with my own limited experience what to do. The only one who has the right answer is God. And we must implore His help. And His help comes to us through our parents, through our guardian angel, through our patron saints, through the religious who have been given, the clerics who have been given to guide us. We must come to all of these. We must pray to God, Lord, what do you want me to do? If we're not going to pray for our vocations, we're going to make big mistakes. The chances of us getting it right are very, very slim. And all I have to do is have you look around the world today. How many young people go to college and declare their major? This is what they're going to major in. This is what they're going to dedicate their life to. The first year they enter college. The second year they've switched all the way over to another field. We don't really care so much about that one anymore. The third year it's another one. And the fourth year it's another one. And by that time they say, well, I don't have enough credits to graduate. Let's see, I've got to decide on something. And they end up perpetual students. They drop out. Or they get a degree in something that they never pursue with their lives. They're never going to use again. We have a piece of paper. And now they graduate just as confused as when they entered. What am I going to do with my life? Where am I going to go? As I used to tease the young ladies when they went to college, they're all going to get their MRS. That's the only reason they go to college, is to get that MRS, to meet the nice, perfect young man who's going to make them rich and make them comfortable. And then when that doesn't happen, what do I do now? And instead of asking God, they flounder around looking and always coming up empty. If God wants you to be married, you should be asking Him to help you find that perfect partner. We sit in our catechism classes and we hear taught to us, pounded into our heads, how dangerous it is to enter into mixed marriages. And then we say, but where am I going to find another Catholic mate? If it is God's will, you'll find it. Maybe it's not God's will. Maybe it's God's will that you become a religious. Maybe it's God's will that you remain single. Maybe it's God's will that you find someone and convert them and bring them into the church. There are so many different outcomes that are possible. We are fools to think that we can determine which one we should take, which way we should go without God's help. We must pray, asking God for His guidance. Not only for ourselves, but for all those that we love. Children have an obligation to pray for their parents, that their parents will fulfill their obligations as parents. instead of crying and complaining and raising a fit that their parents are not fair, complaining to their parents, complaining to their friends, they should be praying to God that their parents will become better parents, that God will give them the grace, that God will give them the grace to cooperate with His grace. Parents should be praying for their children. We should be praying for our pastors, praying for our political leaders, praying for our teachers, praying for our policemen, our servicemen, praying for our whole country, that each one will be fulfilling that obligation that God has imposed upon them. Do we pray? Do we heed God's invitation to pray for one another? Or as St. John says in the epistle this morning, to love one another, to love the brethren. If we love each other, then we pray to God for one another. If we love one another, we want each other to get to heaven. And in order to get to heaven, we know that we need graces, and we know that we must cooperate with those graces. In order to get those graces, we must pray to God. We must pray for them. We must ask. Ask, and you shall receive. The reason everything seems so confused, we don't know which way to go or what to do, is because we have not yet asked. Pray to God, and it will be made clear. Maybe not in your time, but when the opportunity comes, you will know. This is what I must do. This is where I must go. This is how I must act. In the meantime, we must pray. Pray that we not make a wrong choice. Pray that we not end up in some place where we do not belong, where it will be even more difficult for us to save our souls. But the best place for us to save our souls is in that vocation that God has called us to. We must heed His invitation and come. Whether it be to the religious life, the clerical state, or the married state, or the single state, whether it be as a teacher, a doctor, a lawyer, whatever position it may be in society, if it is God's will, that is where we should be to save our souls. Any other place, we're going to have a very hard time. And we must be careful not to force ourselves in where we don't belong. It is just as wrong for a person who has a religious vocation to enter the marriage state as it is for someone who has a vocation to the marriage state to force himself into the religious life. They're doomed to a life of misery, and their eternal salvation becomes very dubious. The answer lies in God, and He will reveal it to us. He will send us His messengers, His servants, will come to us and say, this is what we should be doing. But we have to be ready and waiting, constantly vigilant. We must be willing to set aside whatever it is we're doing at this moment and pursue His calling. Tempted to give you an example, but I'll refrain. We must listen to God. Listen to His representatives. Listen to our hearts. Set aside the passions, the influences of the world, all the distractions. Cut ourselves off for just a little bit, once in a while, and pray to God with our whole heart, mind, and soul, saying, Lord, here I am. Do with me what you will. Be it done unto me according to thy will. Whatever you want, Lord. You just let me know. And I'm ready to go and do it. That must become our prayer. That must become our way of thinking. Not only for us, but for all those that we have influence over, our children. Those whom we should rule or govern. Teach. They must be taught to turn to God. And they must be convinced of the necessity of putting off whatever obstacles are in the way. Once they receive that invitation, once it is made clear, this is what I must do, not to put it off, not to make any excuses, but to come immediately. Because if we delay, we will find much to our regret that someone has already taken our place, that there is no longer any room, that the doors have been closed, the opportunity is now gone. We must act promptly, obediently, because it is not the voice of man, but it is the voice of God who calls us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.